So this is Afternoon Pancakes, brought to you by Stampede Blue, part of SB Nation. Today we're going to be discussing the Colts' ideal 53-man roster, our projected 53-man roster as we head into training camp. And I, Jared Malott, am sitting here with my friend, Stephen Reed. Sir, how are you today?
I'm doing well today. How are you doing?
I'm just blessed to be here, and we know it. So let's talk about kind of what we were shooting from the hip earlier, is talking about a traditional 53-man roster first, and then we'll kind of say this is what kind of what the Colts did last year, and then we'll talk about what we're going to do this year. Cool?
Yep, that sounds like a plan.
So, brother, tell our fans what does a 53-man roster typically look like, and we're just speaking in terms of position players. Go ahead.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, for a typical 53-man roster, you're looking at 24 offensive players, and then about 26 defensive players, and then you've got three special teams players. Okay. The three special teams players, obviously, your kicker, your punter, your long snapper. Uh-huh. Those are pretty simple to break down. It's same for every team. Now, in offense, typically the breakdown is a quarterback, you usually carry two. Running backs, you carry four. Wide receiver, the typical team carries five to six. Normally there are six, based on having guys available for special teams, whether it be a kick returner, punt returner, that kind of thing. On your typical tight end position in the roster, teams will carry three, and then the typical offensive line will carry nine. Mm-hmm. Now, when you flip over to the defensive line position, which is for the traditional 4-3 defense, would include your defensive end and your defensive tackle position. Those guys, okay, usually you'll have about nine of those.
Okay.
And then in the linebacker position, you'll usually have about seven.
Okay.
And then in the DBs, which is your left cornerback, right cornerback, slot or nickel corner, your free safety and your strong safety, you'll usually carry about 10 players there. And so that's kind of the general breakdowns. You got two quarterbacks, four running backs, six wide receivers, three tight ends, and nine offensive linemen on offense. On defense, you have nine defensive linemen, seven linebackers, and 10 defensive backs.
Okay. Now that we've kind of gone through what a traditional 53-man roster with a 4-3 defense looks like, how is the Colts roster last year just a little different from a traditional roster?
All right. So the Colts roster last year, they kept two quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They kept four running backs. So that's all pretty standard.
Yes.
Now, once you got to the wide receiver, tight end, and offensive line position, they kind of broke down a little bit differently. So the wide receiver position, the Colts only capped five. And that's one of those things where we'll make a huge impact on this year and any kind of roster projections that we have. At the tight end position, they kept four instead of what normally is kept as three. And then at the offensive line position, they kept 10, where you would normally keep nine. Now, both of those situations, the tight end one actually makes a lot of sense that they kept more tight ends than wide receivers. The reason is Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni run a lot of multiple tight end sets. Mm-hmm. And so they basically used, for example, last year, Eric Ebron as more of a hybrid tight end wide receiver, lining mm-hmm. him up in the slot more often than not and having him run deeper routes. And so keeping that fourth tight end made a lot of sense. If you remember the start of the season, Jack Doyle lined up a lot at the halfback position as well. And so, or the that lead blocker position, and Luck would motion him back for pass protection purposes. The offensive line, typically you'll see a team keep nine. Last year, the Colts kept 10. I think a lot of this was partly due to the Anthony Costanzo injury. Last year, if you remember last year going into training camp, going into the season, Costanzo missed some time with different leg injuries. And he didn't come back until, I believe, the Jets game,
mm-hmm.
Which was week six. And then after that, you saw the offensive line really start to gel and really, really start to play well. This year going in, the offensive line doesn't have that same kind of issue in terms of injury or in terms of uncertainty either. Right. The time last year, we didn't know who was going to be the right tackle. Now we clearly have Braden Smith. We didn't know who was going to be the right guard. We now clearly have Mark Lewinsky.
Right.
So it gives us a lot of options there. Now, last year, when you flip over to the defense, last year, the Colts on the defensive line kept 9 defensive linemen, kept 6 linebackers, and 10 defensive backs. And so that goes pretty standard. So it looks like, based on the numbers, is the defensive line was the same as what you would expect. Same thing with the defensive back. The linebackers were actually 1 less than what you would expect. And so instead of keeping 7, they kept 6. They used that extra linebacker spot and put it towards the offensive line, and was able to keep guys there. Special teams, like I said before, those things are pretty equal. So you're going to keep 3 regardless.
So here's what I think I saw. Okay.
Yep.
The Colts had a dearth of talent at wide receiver last year, and they had excess of talent at tight end. So from my perspective, they kept 5 wide instead of 6 because they didn't have as much talent at the position. They kept 4 tight ends instead of 3 because similarly, in a similar vein as, well, Sirianni and Reich want to run an 11 personnel set like 60%, 65, 70% of the time, right? 11 personnel is too tight, right? Am I crazy? Is that what that's called?
Do I?
I think it's called 11 personnel when you run a 2 tight end. Isn't that called 11? I'm crazy. But they have.
I think you're crazy, but
I'm probably crazy. I thought it was called 11. But yeah, the 2 tight end set we have
I think that's
a lot.
12 personnel.
Is it 12? Probably 12 because Luck's number 12. So with the 2 tight ends, you have 2 super talented tight ends, Jack and Eric, and then you just had. You know, in so many words, you just had T.Y. in terms of rapport with Andrew Luck. Like, it makes sense there. And then as far as the offensive line, they kept 1 extra similarly because you said, well, Anthony Costanzo was injured. But again, there was also a lot of questions about the talent that we had in the offensive line. So keeping 1 extra dude kind of feeds that notion. And then similarly, what we say that the Colts kept 5 corners. Most teams keep 6. So I think the Colts kind of thought they had the right personnel there. And it showed through with the secondary play last year was better than expected, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
at times.
At times. And we all know your whole life's a 50-50, right? So this year, so what we're going to talk about today is kind of how do we feel going, you know, we're at outset here. We're at the beginning of training camp. We've got very few people injured, right? Like, so as far as I can remember, there's only one. It's just Spencer Ware.
Spencer
right?
Ware, yeah.
Yeah, and he is a guy that is new to the program, had a little bit of an injury, and also is not slated as a starter anyway. He's a backup running back. So we're Colts are in terms of health are at near the acme of where you could hope to be. Going into training camp, right? Everybody's here and healthy and playing. And they'll, some guys aren't going to get all the reps early, but I think we're healthy and that's where we're starting, right? And that's what we hope to maintain.
Yeah, for clarity, 12 personnel is 1 running back, 2 tight ends. And okay. That's why I thought 11 is 1 running back, 1 tight end. You always go off your first number is your number of running backs on the field, your second number is the number of tight ends.
So it is 12. My bad.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously Colts are going to keep 2 quarterbacks, right? Jacoby Brissett, Andrew Luck. That's like that conversation's over.
That's done. That was the quickest conversation we've ever had on here.
The best quarterback in the NFL and then the best backup in the league, right?
Yep.
All right. So as far as running backs, we know Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, Jordan Wilkins, Spencer Ware. Who else of our stable of running backs? Colts related. Yeah. Who else do you see could be that fourth, maybe the 4A, 4B, Spencer Ware, and whom?
See, here's the thing. With the running back position, I think we've definitely got 3 locks on there. Agreed. With Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, Jordan Wilkins.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not sure Spencer Ware is necessarily a lock at this point. For one, he's on the pup list, so he's got to come back first. And what the Colts could do in this situation is keep him on the pup list and let him start the season on the pup list. He gets the opportunity to come back week 6 and then see, he gets a couple weeks in there. Maybe, God forbid, an injury happens in the first handful of games. And then you have Spencer Ware able to come back when he's ready. I think Jonathan Williams and and Aka Cedric Ware. I hope I the pronunciation of names is kind of a
I
not
say
a great.
It's Asa
Cedric. Maybe that sounds good.
Yeah.
But anyway, Ware is there. I don't think either of those guys really have a legitimate shot to make the roster. One thing that I would say is I wouldn't bet against the Colts bringing in a running back that's not on the roster currently as that fourth running back. And the one that I'm really kind of thinking about is Jay Ajayi. He is a guy that has a lot of experience with Reich being over in Philadelphia. He's got a lot of talent as well. Mm-hmm. He was injured, and the Colts were one of the few teams, I think they might have been the only team that brought him in to kind of put some feelers out to see where he was going. And this was back during the free agency period at the beginning. I want to say it was in April or May is when they brought in Ajayi to have him kind of take a look around, and they were kind of kicking the tires on him. He just recently got totally cleared from his injury. So he should be looking to sign with the team here soon. I wouldn't bet that the Colts aren't interested. That was a whole lot of double negatives there. I would think that the Colts are interested in bringing in Jay Ajayi if he's available and if he wants to come in. I think he might be just as good of option as Spencer Ware there for the Colts as that fourth running back to start the season on the 53-man roster.
I think bringing up Jay Ajayi is an excellent point, because if you think about how Jay Ajayi complements running backs like Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, and Jordan Wilkins, he's a big body, big people mover kind of running back that's a little bit of a bruiser. He would be great late season in bad weather and in the playoffs. And those are the kind of holes that the Colts would be looking to fill. If you look at the games the Colts struggled and games they should have been more competitive or won, and, you know, as a Colts fans, we want to say, hey, we should win every game, right? We got great staff, great personnel. We should win every game. But you lose games when you're not prepared to play in the climate you're going to play in, and when the players, the personnel that you bring to that game, aren't game ready for those kind of sloppy, snowy, rainy, windy games that you're just – you're anytime you're uncomfortable, it's probably better to be able to run the ball with power. Is that probably fair?
Yeah, that's fair. And right now they don't even have that traditional short yardage back.
Right.
And so, like, yeah, Jordan Wilkins could probably do it. Marlon Mack could probably do it to a point. Right. But what you really want is that big bruising back. And I think Jay Ajayi would be a great player to bring in, assuming he's healthy. Right. To come in and be that fourth running back on the Colts roster.
Okay, so now let's talk about wide receivers. Obviously, we know T.Y. Hilton. You've got a smattering of people behind T.Y. all vying for some attention, right? We brought in Devin Funchess. You have Deion Kane returning from injury. You have Paris Campbell you drafted in the second round. So you've got all kinds of things there. We've spoken before about saying, well, it's T.Y. and everyone else, and then the everyone else is probably either Paris Campbell or Devin Funchess, right?
Yeah.
So we kind of, if we're going to say, hey, Mack, Hines, and Wilkins are our locks at running back, is it fair to say Hilton, Funchess, and Campbell, barring injury, are probably locks at wide receiver?
I would say out of the wide receivers, I had four that were really kind of, I thought, were locks to make this roster. And that was T.Y. Hilton, Devin Funchess, Deion Kane, and Paris Campbell. Not in that order. I think Campbell is going to be your third wide receiver, and Kane's going to be your fourth. I do think that the Colts are really high on Deion Kane going into camp last year. He looked like the clear number two wide receiver last year prior to his injury. The Colts are doing a series on him and his recovery and everything. You don't do that with somebody that you think is a roster bubble player.
Right.
Because you want fans to learn about this guy and have that emotional connection. So then they start to really feel for this guy and love this team and love this player and how hard he's worked to come back. To do a series like that only to cut him.
Right.
Really.
It seems like a waste of energy, right?
Yeah, it seems really illogical to me. Okay. And so I break it down. And what I did was the way that I looked at it is I'm looking at either five or six wide receivers. So I've got right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys that are looking for one or two spots
right
on this roster. And I break it down into your basic outside wide receiver and your slot wide receiver.
Okay.
And you've got Campbell, who's probably going to be a slot. And then you've got Chester Rogers and really Penny Hart are your three main slot options. And so if I were going to be a betting guy on this, I would say that one of the surprise cuts I could see this year was Chester Rogers, mm-hmm. because Rogers mainly played out of the slot last year. His main focus, the main thing that he was able to bring to the table was his return ability.
Right.
But if I remember correctly, he kept calling for fair catches within the inside, like the 5 yard line.
Right.
And he would go and field balls that had no reason to be fielded. Right. And so I'm not even sure he was that great of a returner, unless we're saying he didn't fumble, which is obviously really important. But right. at the same time, you want a guy that's going to make the right decision in the right situation. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Chester Rogers as a surprise cut. Because I think they've got other options in the slot because of Frank Gregg's offense and okay. using that tight end, splitting them out into a slot, or Devin Funchess, who, like we've said on past shows, was a perfect catch percentage in the slot from Cam Newton, of all people.
Right. Of all people. So here's – I first need to bring up the recent focus of – several conversations in Deion Kane, and I would like to tell the world about my exposure to Deion Kane. So along with, you know, everyone else at Stampede Blue, I may be a content creator centering my attention on the Indianapolis Colts, but I always tell people, hey, I'm a football fan first, and I especially enjoy college football. Okay, so just to get it out there, when it comes to Deion Kane, when he was in college, who is his quarterback? You don't know who that is, and I don't know off the top of my head either. And the reason I'm bringing that up is
I can tell you why. Because 2 years ago, when he was blowing up and everybody thought he was going to be a second-round pick, or 3 years ago, when he was blowing up and everybody thought he was going to be a second-round pick, it was Deshaun Watson.
Right.
That was his quarterback.
Right.
The year he came out, he had nobody.
Exactly.
Like, that was before any of it happened. And all his numbers dropped, and people were like, oh, well, what's going on with Deion Kane? I don't understand. It's because he was the only wide receiver, and they had no quarterback.
Well, here, that's not true. Hold on.
Well, Hunter Renfro.
No. Apologies. Steve Ishmael. Steve Ishmael. Hold on now.
Steve Ishmael went to Syracuse.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, the wrong school. It's Clemson. Anyway, hold on. So what I was saying about Deion Kane was – every year, Stampede Blue puts out its own, we do a draft guide, and we do a lot of research on college players. And when you look at guys that you think are going to get drafted or have the talent to play in the NFL, that's the reason I brought up Steve Ishmael as a replacement, not same team, but a replacement player for Deion Kane. In that, when Steve Ishmael is in college, go watch his tape. He looks like a number one wide receiver. He's big body, he's fast. Catch the ball in traffic, does all of the things, but who was his quarterback? Nobody. So in terms of evaluating talent, I thought he was a draftable player. The reason I bring him up is because the Colts both interviewed Steve Ishmael and did not draft him, and he did not get invited to like take part in the team last year. So if you think about the difference between a guy like Deion Kane getting drafted in the 6th round and a guy like Steve Ishmael, who again appears to possess the skill set that is like admirable at the position, doesn't even get drafted. It all comes down to the success of that program. So like Clemson, of course, is on national television in primetime like every week. So guys like Deion Kane, even with a bad quarterback, still put up a highlight reel for a full season with not Deshaun Watson throwing to him. And then you think about coming to Indy with all that promise, right? The promise is just the opportunity. You just got drafted by an upstart small market, small to medium market NFL team, right? The expectations were middling for a 6th round draft pick, but his performance in camp did not match his draft status, right? He did not play like a 6th round draft pick wide receiver. He played like a number 2 wide receiver on a competitive NFL team vying for a playoff spot. And then for him to get injured and miss the whole season is, of course, disheartening. His recovery has been uplifting, and you're kind of proud to be a Deion Kane fan. But it bears mentioning that Chris Shepard wrote an article in the last few days talking about, hey, great expectations, the Deion Kane edition. We want a guy like Deion Kane to come in here and be that spark plug kind of player, the guy that he touches the ball and you swear to God lightning struck, right? You want that to happen, but the reality is he's a six-round draft pick wide receiver coming off an ACL tear and hasn't played a down of competitive football in the NFL. As opposed to the rest of that locker room, in terms of wide receivers, there's more talent there this year. So his position isn't guaranteed. And I just want to clarify, while we're all tossing out pejorative and opinions, that, hey, if somebody says, man, that's a tall mountain to climb for Deion Kane, it was a mountain the whole time. Right? It was going to be difficult for him to be a stud in the NFL because he's a six-round draft pick wide receiver. Right? He wasn't drafted in the second round like Paris Campbell, where the expectations are high, right? Look, I have high expectations for a guy like Paris Campbell. I didn't think about Deion Kane. I was thinking about another player that the Colts also were thinking about drafting that didn't even get drafted, and then the Colts took Deion Kane. So when we talk about this wide receiver room this year, just remember we started out saying, like, we have a world full of hopes for Deion Kane, but the reality is the probability on paper doesn't look pretty. But that said, I have all the faith, to abuse that term lately, all the faith in the world in Chris Ballard and Frank Reich to just make the right decision, and that it may not end up being Deion, but it also may end up being Deion, right?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. When it comes to Deion Kane, based on, like, the numbers and his film in college, he probably should have gone a lot earlier. I'm not sure why he dropped to the sixth round. And I know that there's been a lot of discussion over Chris Shepard's article and one of the comments he had on a sister podcast of ours over at Stampede Blue. And my thing is, in general, Chris Shepard is right. The round six wide receiver who misses the entire year based on injury doesn't always have a great opportunity to make the roster the next year or really contribute. Right. That said, I think Deion Kane is different. And I've said it from the beginning. I think that he very well could be the steal of last year's draft, getting him in the sixth round. He's got great speed. He's got great size. He should have probably gone a lot earlier in the draft. The fact is he didn't. Now, why that is, I'm not sure. You know, maybe it was because he really excelled as a wide receiver too when he was opposite Mike Williams at Clemson. And then when he became that alpha, that he no longer was able to beat those top corners in college in the ACC. And maybe that's why. So maybe teams had some issues with it. But for me, I think that Deion Kane is pretty much locked to make the roster because he's got that speed. He's got that size. He's got that playmaking ability that they really look for. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's one of those outliers from the situation, because not everything can be tailored into just one small, you know, subset of data.
Right.
And they said Shepard's article was technically correct as a general sense. There are always outliers. For example, you don't find a lot of Hall of Famers in the sixth round, but you've got Tom Brady, who's going to be a Hall of Famer.
You know, what's the wide receiver that was drafted in the sixth round?
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown's going to be a Hall of Famer drafted in the
sixth round. He's going, and that was the next guy I was going to bring up, is that you do have wide receivers drafted in the sixth round that do end up making it because they are drafted to the right situation, because they have the right work ethic, because they work hard, and they've got the right team and the talent around them, and the coaching staff to really put them in the right position to succeed. And I think that with Deion Kane, that's what you're going to get here this next year, assuming that he comes back fully healthy. And that's the big assumption.
I was just thinking about the Colts wide receiver room, and specifically like the four players that we were talking about, and thinking about, because again, because I'm a college football fan, I go back and look at who was their quarterback in college, who was their quarterback prior to coming to the Indianapolis Colts. And specifically, I can say with certainty regarding Devin Funchess' time with Cam Newton, with Eric Ebron's time with Matt Stafford, and again with Deion Kane's like his coming out year, the year he was drafted, the quality of quarterback play on tape, so what you can actually see is a lack of touch. It's not that you can just throw a catchable ball or that you throw an accurate football. It's that it can, is that ball catchable in a myriad of circumstances? Is it arriving at the correct location at the correct time? Or are you throwing your receiver into coverage? Are you trying to make, you know, they always say like, don't throw your receiver dead, right?
Oh, you don't hang them out to dry.
Don't hang them out to dry. You don't leave that over the middle and let that safety tee off, right? So one of the things that I'll say that I'm really looking forward to seeing, and it's not just Andrew Luck. In my opinion, Andrew Luck is a known commodity. You know exactly what you're getting out of him. The dude makes the right decision the majority of the time, and the football gets there when it's supposed to be there. He has touch. He can laser that football. He can throw it. He's got the arm. But he also has that mentality that sometimes I don't need to throw a rocket. Sometimes I need to get it over the linebacker, under the safety, right? So, and you saw that last year where the Colts had that nuanced offense where he was throwing the ball all over the field in a myriad of ways. So one of the things to look forward to is those wide receivers getting to play with Andrew Luck and seeing what they're capable of. So in terms of how I actually feel about guys like Deion Kane, man, if you really look at speed, awareness, and like the ability to like catch and run, and you look at T.Y. and Deion Kane and Devin Funchess and Paris Campbell, this team's gonna has the potential to just run up and down the field and not have to do it with a running back either. They've just got several wide receivers that are either an outright mismatch, Devin Funchess, or are really good technicians, T.Y. Hilton. So they're just impossible to match up with perfectly. And I think that's another thing that we'll talk about as the season goes on. But what we're about to see out of the Colts is Andrew Luck have 10 targets, right? 10 legitimate offensive pass catchers. And most teams only have a few, right? Most teams have a pass-catching tight end and a blocking tight end. So they don't even have two pass catchers. And then as far as running backs, a lot of teams only can support a single pass-catching running back. Why? Because they are spending all their talent at wide receiver and other positions. And then, like I said, if we've got four or five wide receivers that are great with the ball in their hands, are good at getting open, are, you know, good route runners, are getting that separation and not putting Andrew Luck in a position to give the ball away, right? So what I look forward to is seeing just an even more efficient version of last year's offense.
Yeah, well, and the interesting thing is the wide receiver position itself is deep for the most part in the Colts in terms of talent. So, like, it's really cool to finally have a year where, like, the bottom of the roster is where we're talking about cuts. And we're like, oh, who's going to make the team? We've got a lot of talent there versus being like, oh, who's going to make the team? Who can play, what it's been in years past, where it's been a little bit more difficult because there hasn't been talent at the bottom of the roster. So like when I break down the wide receiver position, you know, you're looking at another one to two players out of the number of players of Zach Pascal, Darius Fountain, Marcus Johnson, Steve Ishmael. And then you've got Jordan Veazey, Penny Hardin, Ashton Doolin. To me, I think they're going to try to stash Penny Hardin, Ashton Doolin on the practice squad.
Yeah.
If they were going to make those options available. So you're looking at, I think Jordan Veazey and Krishan Hogan are probably going to be cut. So for those last one to two roster spots, you're looking at some combination of Zach Pascal, Darius Fountain, Marcus Johnson, Steve Ishmael, and Chester Rogers. Chester Rogers was able to do kick and punt return abilities, but he's out of the slot. So You've got a lot of options there. So in my mind, I'm probably looking at some combination of Zach Pascal, Darius Fountain, or Steve Ishmael as those last two wide receiver spots, if they keep six. Again, more likely than not, they're only going to keep five and keep another tight end and keep that fourth tight end versus keeping six wide receivers and three tight ends. I think they'll do five wide receivers and four tight ends. And right. so more likely than not, I think they'll probably keep somebody like a Zach Pascal just because he offered some utility on special teams in terms of receiving, being the punt returner and kick returner. I think I'm really interested to see how Darius Fountain improved this year, or if he improved.
Wasn't he slated to start on PUP and then they pulled him?
He originally was going to be non-football injury list, so he wasn't going to be PUP, but he was still going to count against the 90-man roster. Right. And he got pulled the day they reported yesterday, I think. So he was on there for 12 hours. And then got pulled off of it. And so
probably went to Frank Reich and was like, don't do that. I'm good. I'm ready to go. I don't want to be on any list, dog. There's only one person on a list. I don't want to be the only person on a list. Right.
Yeah.
So, transitioning into tight ends again, last year, Colts kept four. And this year we talked about, hey, we probably didn't go on that same road. And we all, these are a known commodity, right? Jack Doyle is the one. Eric Ebron was the one alpha because Jack Doyle didn't play most of the year. And then beyond that, it's Mo Alley Cox. And then
You've got Ross Travis and then Gabe Ross Holmes Travis. And Hale Hentages. I think – and then you also have Billy Brown. I think Billy Brown, Hentages, and Holmes are all going to get cut. Yeah. The tight end position is pretty simple to me. It's going to be Doyle, Ebron, Alley Cox, and Travis if they keep four. Right. If they only keep three, you're looking at Doyle, Ebron, and Alley Cox.
Right.
Like last year, I think they could keep four tight ends, and they'd likely keep Ross Travis because he also is versatile, similar to Jack Doyle, how it goes. And that would cut off a position from the wide receiver position. So you end up having to do that balancing game on are you going to keep – the extra wide receiver, or are you going to, keep that extra tight end? Now, and this isn't necessarily a one-to-one thing, because they could, for example, keep six linebackers again this year and then keep an extra wide receiver. So they could keep six wide receivers, four tight ends, but only six linebackers like they did in the last year and just increase that. And it makes a lot of sense to do that just because they've got some good talent at wide receiver, and they might be worried that somebody's going to pluck them off the waivers, or they're not going to be able to get them over to the practice squad.
That's what I was kind of thinking as you were talking there, as I was thinking, well, we have Devin Funchess now, which in my eyes, Eric Ebron and Devin Funchess are kind of filling the same role, the big body mismatch. You can split them, move them around in your offense, and they've got a lot of utility because not only are they good athletes, but also big boys. So you can use them in the red zone. You use them on third down. So my brain is telling me the Colts are going to keep six or seven wide receivers, and maybe because it's 10 total.
They'll keep six wide receivers.
Six and three, and maybe it's that defensive line, or maybe that linebacking group that secondary that gets that extra guy. So I'm kind of thinking with Devin Funchess and Eric Ebron, in terms of your pass catching big people, that would lead me to want to keep five super athletic wide receivers and then Devin Funchess, right?
Well, here's the other thing to consider at the wide receiver position is another reason why I think they might keep six is Devin Funchess is on a 1-year deal. And so he's not going to be here next year, and you don't want to necessarily put those guys, for example, a Darius Fountain, if he has progressed, you hope he's progressed in this offseason, because realistically he was very raw prospect coming out of, I think it was Northern Iowa last year. And so he needed a full year of really kind of NFL training and everything like that. And so to have him come in, and if he shows out, you don't want to put him at risk. And right. if you can get away with running at six linebackers again, or instead of having 10 offensive linemen, you keep it down at nine. Yeah. That gives you that extra position that you can swing over to the wide receiver position.
So transitioning into the offensive line, obviously the Colts are in a really good position in terms of starting five offensive linemen, returning all five stars from last year. That helped Andrew Luck stay on his feet and get rid of the football and not take as many of those hits and not put his body at risk, which is what was the prior problem, right? Was that reckless abandon that Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson are kind of known for specifically is going to shorten your career. It's going to cause injuries that you wouldn't be having. You know, there's a reason guys like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Ben Roethlisberger play for 20 years. It's because they're upright and they're getting rid of the ball and they're not taking big hits like a dozen times a game. So the five offensive linemen we have. Costanzo, Nelson, Kelly, Glowinski, and Smith, and then you're probably going to keep just about a backup at each position, right? Or as many utility offensive linemen as possible is what
I think that what they would do is right now on their depth chart, they've got at the left tackle position, they've got Costanzo. Obviously, that's a keep. LaRaven Clark has apparently played very, very well or has grown a lot. Chris Ballard yesterday just unprompted brought up LaRaven Clark and how well he's done this offseason. So hopefully he can take over that left tackle spot as the backup. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Evan Bain, who is going to be that backup at the center position because you need that with Ryan Kelly and his injury history. And then Joe Haig, I think, is another lock as a backup to make the roster, and he's one of those swing guys. So you've got eight guys right there that you kind of, at least in my opinion, you feel like are dead on locks to make the roster in Costanzo, Nelson, Kelly, Glowinski, Smith, Clark, Bame, and Haig. And then you look at, you know, adding another player or two in there. Do you keep an extra right tackle in Jamarcus Webb? Do you keep, you know, Antonio Garcia? And the interesting thing with Garcia is that he is suspended for the first four games of the season. And so but you have to keep him on the 53-man roster, and then he gets suspended. So then you open up that roster spot. What I think they might do at that position is keep Antonio Garcia at the start of the roster, at the start of the 53. The next day he gets put on the suspended list. They bring in Jackson Barton to come in as that extra offensive lineman. I think they're probably going to cut Andrews and Eldron Camp and Meunier and Poles, and that's kind of where my head's at on it, is they're going to keep nine offensive linemen.
Yeah, you could probably do that 10. As opposed to 10 from last year, because there's not as much question at the position, and you're looking more for versatility and, like, high-quality backups. So those guys get banged up. You know, one of the things that'll be really neat to see is if Colts' offense is just as consistent or maybe a little more consistent last year, and the defense takes another little step forward, you could see the opportunity for the Colts to start to rest players in-game, right? And that would be ideal. Think about Andrew Luck getting free series a game, and it doesn't have to be that starting five offensive line. And those guys get to take a step off the field, let a backup get in there and get some reps, and not be worried about the quality of play, right? Just keeping guys fresh is something is always on my mind. The injuries and the fatigue over a 16-game season plus playoffs is just – It's a lot to put a football player through. I mean, if you think about it, most people never play football outside of high school. Most people are used to playing like 10 games, and the playoffs starts, and you only got to win like 6-7 games to win a title. If you compare high school football with NFL football, if you win a state title in high school, that's a full NFL season. That's just the season. That doesn't count the playoffs. That's another four games you got to win a Super Bowl. So in terms of the NFL, that's a 20-game season to win a Super Bowl. That's a lot of football. So I get it. It's kind of an asinine thing to say, like, you would take a starter out in the middle of a blowout. But if you really do think about it, like, what if the Colts are up 38-0 on the Tennessee Titans, right? And you're thinking, like, yeah, you probably just pull Andrew Luck and let
you want to get some reps.
Yeah.
I still don't think you probably change out the offensive line necessarily, because those guys just love to play and love to hit.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's one of the handful of positions that you don't really want to make those changes if you don't have to. Sure. Even on the fact that you do want to kind of give them rest where you can. But I think you can give them rest during the week more so, especially if they are coming back as a full offensive unit. It makes a lot more sense to me to give them rest during the week rather than in game, and potentially risk getting, you know, some kind of miscommunication and getting Luck hit or Brissett hit when he doesn't necessarily have to be.
Yeah, I really like the Colts' approach with T.Y. Hilton in that they, you know, they were trying to keep tread on the tires as much as possible. And I would try to apply that. Like if I have entrenched starters on offense and defense, I want you to work as hard as you can, get better every day. I follow all that mantra and that T-shirt you're selling. But the reality is, like, it's just a long season. The Colts are a known quantity now, right? That we haven't hit our ceiling. But people kind of established that the baseline is Andrew Luck's winning 10 games and then putting another four in question every season. So I get, you're probably right with that in mind. You're really not going to arrest the starting offensive lineman and let Andrew Luck play. That said, though, let's look at the defensive line and kind of figure out where are we kind of looking as far as you know, your pass rushers and your big boys chewing up space in the middle.
Yeah, so the defensive line position, I have nine guys that I think are – eight guys that are really kind of locks, and typically you keep nine guys on your traditional roster. They kept nine guys last year. So at the defensive end position, I had Jabal Sheard, Justin Houston, Kamoko Ture, Ben Bonagu, and Al-Qadim Muhammad as my five defensive end that I think are going to get kept, and that seems pretty safe to me as kind of locks to make the roster. I think – they'll probably try to keep Jerry Green on the roster if they can, because I think that he might get swooped up. I think if they can't, they'll probably try to move him over to the practice squad. Same thing with Carroll Phillips, as they'll probably try to move him to the practice squad. The Obum Ogwuachim is the one guy that I think is probably going to be a pretty clear cut unless he shows out at camp. When you move the defensive tackle position, I think this actually kind of gets pretty interesting because you've got Danico Autry and Lewis there, Tyquan Lewis, as your starters, and Marcus Hunt. And those are three guys that I think are pretty much locks. Then you've got Grover Stewart, who is an interesting player because he's shown some quality in his play, but he hasn't like shown out like you would kind of expect. And then you've got a guy like Jihad Ward, who's coming back from injury, who in the handful of games he played, he had three sacks from that defensive and defensive tackle position. And so I lumped Jihad Ward as the defensive tackle, kind of more as that gap shooting defensive tackle. And I think he really has an opportunity to make the roster, potentially over Grover Stewart, if that's an option. And then yeah, Caron Reed, I think, will probably be cut. And then Sterling Shippey, I think, is a guy who could make the roster as a kind of a surprise guy to make the roster, but is more likely going to be tried to be stashed on the practice squad. I think Shippey's got a lot of potential, but he came out of such a small school, and he needs some time to really develop. And so that's where I'm – I want to say it's like Alcorn State or some like really tiny school – but he's got a lot of really great qualities to his game that they could really, really do well in this system.
Yeah, we get to say that this is the best set of pass rushers the Colts have had since the Mathis Greeny days, right?
Yeah, I would say. Well, and I would say that it's the best depth they've had from one right. to five, one to six. Because, yeah, you had Freeney and Mathis, which is great, but they didn't have the depth behind them. So, like, for example, in the Super Bowl against the Saints, once Freeney went down, like, there was not a lot to go on in terms of the pass rush because they could just focus on the other side. And so that was – I think that this depth they've have now at the defensive end position is a lot better than what they've had in the past, at least in my memory.
Right. So now we look at linebackers. Another one of the positions that – yeah, we got Darius Leonard, arguably one of the best linebackers in the NFL, and then Anthony Walker played really well last year. And then talk to me outside of that.
So the linebacker position, the typical 4-3 defense that the Colts are going to run, you're going to have that strong side, middle, and weak side linebacker. Typically, your NFL roster keeps seven of those. Last year, the Colts kept six. I think they'll probably keep six again this year. And the middle linebacker position is Anthony Walker. And then the weak side is obviously Darius Leonard. Now, the strong side is where it's going to be interesting. You've got Zaire Franklin and Matthew Adams. Right now that are kind of penciled in as that strong side. I think what will end up happening is Bobby Okereke will take that strong side spot because they've got their linebackers are so versatile in terms of what they can do. And they don't necessarily need that big bulking linebacker that can really go in and make that hit. What they'd rather have is have that length on the field. So no matter what, you've got guys that have longer arms that can get up to tip balls and create those turnovers that maybe a guy that's a little slower can't. So you've got, I do think Zaire Franklin and Matthew Adams make the roster, okay. But I think they
so
might lose out.
So those are your
fifth
and sixth, to Okereke, Banigou, Walker,
no,
and
I don't have
Leonard.
I have Banigou at defensive end.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got
that's Banigou. That's what they're playing him, right?
Yeah, they talked about playing Banigou as a strong side outside linebacker or a strong side linebacker. But ever since the first handful of practices, they've really kind of focused him on the defensive end position. Now, that's not to say that they don't stand him up later in the year and use him on the field a little bit more to try to run a package that's got more pass rushers. But I think for your linebacker position, you've got Zaire Franklin, Matthew Adams, Anthony Walker, Bobby Okereke, Darius Leonard, and EJ Speed are probably going to be your six linebackers that I think are probably locks to make the roster. I think they'll probably try to take Sky Moore and put him back on the practice squad again. And then when it comes to like Ahmed Thomas and Trey Thomas, I think those guys are probably getting cut at the end. So I think at the most they've got seven that are potential to make the roster. But realistically, I think they're probably only going to keep six like they have in the past.
Okay. And then we could probably group the secondary cornerbacks and safeties into like that was about 10 people last year.
Yeah.
Cornerback's pretty known commodity. It's the safeties that I would have questions about, right? Just because of their use in this defense. Mm-hmm. You've got Hooker over the top trying to keep a cap on the top of the defense so the opposing team is going to have struggle to pass the ball over the top. And then you have your strong safeties that can come up and make plays both in the short passing game and in the run game. Because of that, those guys get injured more often, so it's a little more questionable. So let's start. We'll just run through. How does our cornerback room look?
So the cornerback room is interesting. You're going to have some tough cuts there. I've got right now Pierre Desir, Rock Ya-Sin, Kenny Moore, Marvell Tell, and Quincy Wilson as the five guys that I expect to make the roster. So five guys that I think are locks to make the roster.
And Marvell Tell is kind of the guy that you're like, hey, he could actually like stick in the NFL, right?
Yeah, he could play in the NFL, but he also has that position flexibility to play either corner or safety. And so I think that the Colts really like that about him.
They really like that in general, right? Like if you really look at Chris Ballard's regime here that he's put together in the Fourth Reich, if you really think about it, it's versatility across the board. Utility is important, like having guys that fill a variety of roles as opposed to the straight line running back, the power back, like the traditional he has a single purpose role. It's probably better to have a little more versatility across the board. So that's what we're kind of looking at cornerback, is that from my perspective you have at least three guys I'm confident in their man coverage ability, and then two guys that are just rangy. That if you need to play zone and you need guys that can just eat up a bunch of space in the secondary, we've got that in spades. So,
looking at the other options at cornerback, so you've got five there that I think are pretty solid options.
Yeah.
And then you've got some other guys that are borderline, like bubble guys, like Jalen Collins and Chris Milton and Nate Hairston are three guys that could easily make this roster, but could also easily be cut. Nate Hairston is actually a guy that I think might be a trade option later on in the preseason. That I think that, you know, going up to, I think Chuck Pagano went up to Chicago. So Nate Hairston played really well in Chuck Pagano's defense.
Right.
I think that might be an option. Ryan Pace up in Chicago loves to make trades. So they might be open to trading for Nate Hairston. I think Jalen Collins has an opportunity to beat him out. And I think Chris Milton has that special teams ace, that he's such a good special teams player that he might be able to sneak on that roster as that sixth cornerback in order to make it over, say, a Jalen Collins or a Nate Hairston. I think Shaquille Taylor is going to be that pretty easy cut there. Now, okay. The interesting thing with the cornerback position is how it pairs with the safety position.
Right.
So like you mentioned before, you've got Hooker as your starting free safety, Gaithers and Willis as your strong safeties. I think that they could keep six corners and four safeties.
Okay.
And the interesting thing with the safety position is you've got Mathias Farley and then George Odom, that I think one of those two guys is going to get kept. I don't think both. I think they're going to cut Derek Kindred, even though they just claimed him from Cleveland. And then I think they're also going to cut Isaiah Johnson and Roland Milligan, who I don't think are, really have a lot of opportunity to make the roster. I think that the Colts brass in general are very high on George Odom, but they also love Farley's ability to be a leader in the locker room.
And they just took Willis, so you got to give him an opportunity too. So Hooker gathers are probably your starters.
Willis
is going to step in.
And then I think they're going to keep one of Mathias Farley or George Odom. If they keep them both, and the reason why I think they only keep one of them is because they've got Marvell Tal, who can come in and play that safety position if needed. And so I think they'll only keep one of Farley or Odom, and then they'll be able to keep either Collins or Milton at the cornerback position.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where it's really a numbers game. Like,
it is.
Depending on how training camp goes and where there might be possible injuries, you could see them having to keep an extra wide receiver because, you know, say somebody like strains a calf. And so they've got to keep an extra wide receiver. So they have to take a player from somewhere else. And so in my mind, that's probably they're going to take a player from somewhere else. They're probably going to take it from the offensive line, from the linebacker position, or from the defensive backfield. And like, I just don't know where these guys are going to end up. My gut tells me that they'll probably try to keep a hold of Jalen Collins just because he's more talented. But my head tells me they're probably going to keep Chris Milton because he's such a great special teams player.
Okay. And then this will be the only endorsement I really give. I'm a Mathias Farley fan. He's shown flashes. He's had some series. I think I said this last year in my post game where, you know, I try to watch who makes the play on defense. And Mathias Farley is one of those players that I want to say it was the Cincinnati game where he had a pass defended on first down, a tackle for a loss on second down, made a tackle for a short gain on third down, and then got him out of there. And you think about guys like Darius Leonard that rack up tons of tackles, that they're always in on the play. Guys like Mathias Farley play that smart football where they're always just right there. So I get it. It's a crowded position group. But guys like Mathias Farley, to me, just have shown that flash where if they can stay healthy and if they can actually get on the field and make a difference, they're capable of making a variety of plays, which again feeds to that whole versatility argument. And then of course we could talk about, you know, our real core special teamers. We've got Adam Vinatieri and we've got Rigoberto Sanchez, our punter, and then Luke Rhodes, right, as our long snapper. So there you have it. In a roundabout fashion, all we really did today was talk about known unknown quantity. Can these, you know, these two, three guys at these position groups, this is what we're really battling for, is just a handful of roster spots. This is a crowded team in terms of talent, a very young team, and a team full of versatile players. So I'd be real interested to see how training camp and the preseason kind of evolves for us. It was interesting to me today that you pointed out like a couple players that, hey, this guy actually be like a good trade bait. Like this is a good enough player to play, maybe not a good enough player to make the team, and that makes him valuable to somebody else because, you know, we always have it the best here. That's the way you try to look at it anyways. We're going to keep the best player. So like those other players, there's only a couple of those guys that are really going to get a legitimate shot on another team, right?
Yeah, and honestly, like there's some positions that, you know, for example, the defensive backs that the Colts have, or the defensive line, those guys I could see whoever gets cut getting an opportunity somewhere else. You know, and the wide receiver position, maybe those guys get a chance to catch on elsewhere. But I think that defensive line position and that defensive back position, somebody's going to get cut that another team is going to want.
Right, and then that guy's gonna play, and that'll be a guy that's on another team that you're like, hey, that guy was a Colt, that's cool, man. Like mm-hmm. he's out there doing a thing. So
yeah, and that's what Chris Ballard just said all along, is that the real true showing of how you're building a franchise is if you cut players, other teams want them. Right. And they're getting picked up. They're getting claimed off waivers. And so it really just shows how great Chris Ballard has been in terms of building this roster and filling it with talent. Not just talent that fits the system, but talent that can succeed in the NFL.
Right. And now, so we kind of went through the entire roster, and then to close it out today, I want to point out a couple things. First, you're going to see a lot of Stimpy Blue staff at training camp this year. And if you recognize us, I mean, I don't know that I'll be there. I got a lot of things going on, and obviously you're not in Indiana. You should see 10 or more Stampy Blue staff members at training camp. So feel free to say hi. I know for a fact, like Brett, Faraz Majeed. I know like got a lot of guys going to be there. So please say hi.
Zach Hicks is going to be there.
Zach Hicks is going to be there. He's a fan favorite. I love obviously everybody, but Chris Shepard is one of the guys I really love. I love to see any of y'all if we could make it happen. But training camp should be a blast. The Colts are really have really become what I would call like publicly friendly, right? Like, so as opposed to like the closed off versions of past Colts teams, this team's really like community focused, and they're getting out there and they're getting right in front of your face. You're getting to meet your heroes, which they say frequently don't do. But
you get to see it behind the scenes, which is really cool, because Colts.com and their Colts production company is also doing some behind the scenes work at training camp as well. So you're going to be able to see some of that, which is, it's really cool, and it's really unique to the Colts that they're allowing fans to really kind of look behind the curtain to get to know your franchise and get to know your players and really form that connection, that bond with the team as a whole, rather than, before, Bill Polian was great. But like Colts fans love Peyton Manning because of what he did on the field. You never really got to see that behind the scenes. Now you do with this regime. And it really kind of puts everything in such a unique perspective, and really a cool opportunity for fans to get behind the scenes and really kind of see what's going on and learn to love these players for who they are as people and not necessarily just what they do on the field.
All right. So with that said, thank you, Stephen, for meeting with me today and talking with me about this. And we'll make sure we get this up for you. And like I said, look, got a lot of awesome content coming down the pipeline. There's certainly other podcasts on the website. So we'll go ahead and wrap this bad boy up. And brother, we'll get together next week and talk, okay?
Sounds good. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy Colts camp if you're going. Remember, go to Colts.com to get your tickets to go. It's free, but you got to go to Colts.com and get your ticket there first.
All right. And there we go. That'll be the end there, brother.